Well, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service here today. I want you to know, for all of you that are in the assisted living and the nursing homes that have been shut in now for well over a year, that you are not forgotten. The people here at Liberty Baptist Church, we continue to pray for you. You're in our hearts and on our minds. Just want you to know that one of these days, Lord willing, the doors will be opened back up and we can see you in person. And we look forward to that day. But until then, we're thankful we have this opportunity to put the Lord's Word on a DVD. Technology is amazing. And we're thankful to the places where you're at that they allow us to drop off the DVD. And we do pray it's a blessing for you and to you. Well, Memorial Day is coming up. Actually, Monday is Memorial Day. It's a time where people remember. You know, it's a time where we remember the ones that have gone on before us, family, friends, loved ones. But that's not the only time. It's the time we remember all of our soldiers who died so we can live in this free country of ours. But it's also a time, Memorial Day is a time we should remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for each one of us, for each one of us. But I have a feeling when Memorial Day rolls around, the majority of the people in our country, our free country, they do not remember the soldiers who paid the ultimate price, nor do they remember Jesus Christ who paid the ultimate price for our spiritual freedom. Soldiers paid the price for our physical freedom, which lasts as long as we are alive. Jesus paid the price for our eternal and spiritual freedom, which lasts for an eternity. So I just want to encourage you today to think about those who died for our physical freedom on Memorial Day, but also think about Jesus, who died for each one of us. So, before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity again, Father, just to put your word on DVD and take it into these dear folks that are shut in. And I just ask that this message be an encouragement to their hearts. May it be a reminder, come this Memorial Day, what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us, the sacrifice that he made for each one of us. Father, I just ask that you help me through this. I ask that you give me the words to say that will be a blessing to these people. Also, Father, I ask that if anyone listening to this message does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that through your words here today, they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Father, we ask that you bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'm going to start in the book of Romans chapter 5, and I think I'll read verses 8, 9, and 10 just to get us started here. It says in Romans 5, 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, that's Jesus Christ's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, like I was before I got saved, I was an enemy of God. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This Memorial Day, I want to think about the one who reconciled us to God, the one who saved us by his life. I want to talk about Jesus Christ ultimately and for the majority of the time. But first, let's just talk a little bit about Memorial Day and remembering some of those who gave their life for our physical freedom. Do we think about them this Memorial Day when we are free to gather with family and friends and do whatever we want within the law? It's because of their sacrifice that we're able to do that. You know, the world today, they don't put much thought into the people who have sacrificed their lives for us. You know, I'm thankful to live in a free country. But it's because of those brave soldiers that went to war to keep us free. Okay, I just want to throw some numbers at you here. You know, during the Revolutionary War, 25,324 sacrificed their lives. During the Civil War, 498,332. That's almost 1 million, half a million people who sacrificed their lives during the Civil War. World War I, 116,710 never made it back home. World War II, 407,316 gave their all so we could be free, live in a free country. Korean War, 54,546 died. Vietnam War, 58,098 died. First Gulf War, 293. The Iraqi War, 819. You add all those up, and I didn't add them up, but just looking at my numbers here, it's well over 1 million people. 1 million men and women, mostly men, did not make it back home to their wives, to their children, to their mothers, so we could be free, so we could enjoy this Memorial Day. Do we think about them? Do we think about them on Memorial Day? Do we remember and appreciate their sacrifice? You know, we have politicians in the White House now that would, they don't, some of them, not all of them, some of them don't even care about our veterans. They don't care about the sacrifices that were made so they can be in a position of power. We need to remember those that have gone on before us. But that's all physical freedom, and that's good, and I'm thankful for it. I'm very thankful for it. But let's say I'm 60 years old. Let's say I live to be 85, 90. My physical freedom only lasts that long, and then I'm dead. How much more important is our spiritual freedom? I mean, that lasts an eternity, because you and I, each one of us, are either going to spend our eternity in hell or heaven, and there's no in between. I've read God's word, and nowhere in there does it talk about a place in between. It talks about when a man dies, he's in or a person dies, he's in heaven or hell. It's one or the other. But getting back to the soldiers, all these soldiers sacrificed for our physical freedom, but there is one died for our spiritual freedom. And now I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. The first 11 verses, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us," that would be you and me personally, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to remember Jesus Christ and him dying for the ungodly. You see, when he died for me, the ungodly, that I could be reconciled to God the Father through his blood. And he did that for you also. You see, back when he did that, no, I wasn't born, obviously. But when I was born, I lived 33 years as the enemy of God. But because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, now I'm a child of God's. You can be too. You know, he didn't die just for me. You know, let's read John 3:16. He died for the world, all of us, each one of us. Whether you accept his death on the cross as a payment for your sins or not, he still died for you. For God so loved the world. You see the world right there. We're talking about people. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the sin debt for everyone that was ever born or will be born. That's the sacrifice that we need to remember. Not just come Monday on Memorial Day, but every day of our lives, we need to remember that sacrifice. God was manifest in the flesh. We need to remember that God himself, the creator, the one who created the heavens and the earth, stepped out of heaven, all the glories that are in heaven, into our physical time and came into the world as a human baby. It's for you and me. Just so he could go to that cross on our behalf. You know, let's look at the book of John. We go to chapter 1. We look at verses 1 and 2. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word. You notice the Word is capital W on that. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about Jesus Christ is God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. He left all his glories in heaven, just like all those soldiers, those brave soldiers left their family, their friends, and their home, and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our physical freedom. Jesus Christ left all his glories in heaven and came down here to this sinful earth and sacrificed himself for you and me. We don't talk about that enough, really, in the world out there. I mean, yeah, we talk about it in church, and rightfully so, but you don't hear people talking about that out there in the world. You say, God bless you, and they look at you like it's a foreign language. We just don't talk about it enough. You know, if we look at verse 11 here, John 1:11, and it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And if we skip down to verse 14, okay, let's go, sorry, Pastor, we'll go 12, 13, and 14. But as many as received him, that's everyone that has been born again, that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's the second birth. And the Word was made flesh. See that word capitalized, capital W right there? That's Jesus Christ. Okay, he came down in the flesh of a person, of a human being. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if we go to John 3, I just want to read 15 through 17. So he left all his glories in heaven. I want you to remember the sacrifice that he made. He left all his glories in heaven to come down here for you and me. And then John 3:15, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come down here to condemn us. He didn't come down here to judge us. What did he do? But that the world through him might be saved. He came down here to save us. He came down here to save us. Just as all those soldiers gave their life to free us, keep us free, Jesus Christ came down here to save us. Which is, I don't want to say it's far, I'm not trying to diminish what the soldiers did, because I'm forever grateful, thankful for what they did for me and my family. But it's only physical. You know, if this country of ours were to be taken over by another country, and I would be subjected to whatever rules they say, it's only going to last until my physical death. Eternity lasts forever, where there is no time. I'm trying to get you to see the significance of what Jesus did for us. It lasts forever. It lasts for, you know what the sad part is? Sad part is when people die and go to hell, they're going to realize the significance of what Jesus Christ did. But it's too late. It's too late. Matter of fact, I want to read you a couple more on this here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That will happen whether you do it here or the day of judgment. It will happen. Matter of fact, I'll give you a little example. We'll go to the book of Luke. I don't want to get too far off my notes or keep you too long, but Luke 16. And let's start in verse 19. I'm probably going to read all the way down through 31, Pastor, just here and there. Let's start in 19, though. I want to talk about two men here. We were talking about every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right here in the Bible is an example of two men that died. One died an unbeliever, but he became a believer after it was too late. He believed so much that he wanted someone to go warn his brothers. You know, and that's just one example. But everyone that dies and goes to hell, they're all going to want their family and friends warned. And that's what we're trying to do. It's what we're trying to do. Right here in this story, it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He had nothing. The beggar had nothing. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, just like it will for you and I, It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now the rich man, he died, and it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, there's a lot of people that scoff at those verses I just read. And I'll read more to the story here in a second. But they scoff at that, thinking it's not real. That rich man, to this day, knows it's real. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He's saying there's no going back and forth here. Once you're in eternity, you are there. There's no way out. Even though your knee's going to bow and your tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it is too late. Then he said, I pray thee. Now, this is the rich man talking here. Once he realizes he's not getting out, he's not getting no relief for his torments, this is what he wants right here. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. The rich man saying, send Lazarus to my father's house. Why does he want to do that? Well, we'll keep reading. For I have five brethren. Oh, all of a sudden now he's thinking of his family members. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What's he want to testify to them? This right here. He wants Lazarus to go tell them the truth, which is no different than what we're doing right here tonight. It's the exact same thing. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, which is this right here. See, we already have this. This is God's word. He promised to preserve it for each one of us. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if thou hear not Moses and the prophets, so if you're not willing to believe this right here, what you're hearing here today, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible. Whoop, I don't want to go 17. So that's just a story of two men where we're talking about every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see that rich man right there, he had no time for Jesus Christ. He had no time to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Matter of fact, he didn't even believe it. He thought it was all a joke. But the minute he died, he's in hell, in torments. And he was just asking for someone to dip their he wasn't asking for a glass of water. He was asking for someone to dip their finger in water and just put a drop on his tongue. He was begging for that. But once he realized his hopeless situation, he said, okay, my situation's gone, but I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place. I don't want them to come to this. I'm trying to get you to see the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and me, and it's a shame if we die and go to hell because the price that Jesus Christ paid is all over with. Matter of fact, when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He came to do the will of his Father, which was go to the cross and pay for our sins with his own blood. And he said, it is finished. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. All we have to do is believe. That's it. Because Jesus left heaven and came into this world, he knew pain, he knew suffering, he knew rejection, he knew hunger, he knew thirst, he knew loneliness. He knew all these things so that he can help us through our trials and pain and suffering. He knew all those things. He's already been down that road. When Memorial Day rolls around, are we going to remember the sacrifice that he made on our behalf? It's a personal thing. It's not personal to where we don't share it with others. But he died for me personally. And he died for you personally. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16. He's experienced everything we could ever go through. That's why he's there to help. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So where do we go? He's experienced it all for us. There's nothing we're going to take on in this life or experience in this life that he doesn't already know about. He hasn't already been there. Okay, so what good does that do us, right? Well, right here in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." You know, if you're saved, that's the place to go in your time of need. That's the sacrifice that we need to remember. But if you're not saved, that's the place to go in your time of need. Right there. "That we may obtain mercy and find grace." It's the grace of God that saves us. And that's where you're going to find it. To help in our time of need. And if you're not saved, just like I wasn't years ago, I had a need. And my need was Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not saved today and you're listening to this, or watching this, if you're not saved, your need is Jesus Christ, just like that rich man we read about in the book of Luke. But it's too late for him. And if you're listening to this, it's not too late for you. You don't get a second chance once your heart stops beating. Once you've taken your final breath, time's up. We're in Hebrews. Let's go to 2:18. We're talking about Jesus Christ knows everything we're going through in our time of need. Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, help them that are tempted." He's there to help us. Do we even remember that? The sacrifice that he made on our behalf on Memorial Day? And I'm just talking about one day out of the year. Do we even remember what Jesus Christ has done for us one day out of the year? We should remember it every day. Every day. When Jesus came into this world, he was born and lived and he died without sin. That's why he could make that sacrifice of himself for us. Because he was without sin. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5:21... It says right here, "For he hath made him," God made Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us." Someone who knew no sin. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It's all through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And in verse 22 it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He was sinlessly perfect. You know, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's talking about all us human beings. It's not talking about Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ had sinned, he wouldn't be the perfect sacrifice. He couldn't have paid for my sins. He'd have needed someone to pay for his sins. But seeing how he was sinless, God placed all our sin upon him. He was able to pay our sin debt. He was able to do that. Do we remember that sacrifice? Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law of God, and his service was accepted by God the Father. That's why I don't have to keep the law. That's why I don't have to try to please God to be saved. There's no way I can do that. You know, if we look at Isaiah chapter 64, and this is true with you also. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. 64:6 says, but we are all, that's you and me, we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There's no righteousness within us. God says they're all my righteousness of in and of myself is like a bunch of filthy rags. Good for nothing. When we accept Christ as our Savior, it's his righteousness that is placed upon us. When God looks down from heaven and he sees me, he sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son. That's what he sees. And if you accept Christ as your Savior, God will adopt you into his family. And when he sees you, he'll see the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for you and me. For you and me. Let's take a look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is that sacrifice right here. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not anything I've done to be saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse right there is talking about any amount of works I could do to be saved, it's not going to happen. It's only by God's grace that we're saved, and that's called a gift of God. God has a gift for us, and that gift's only possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, all of Jesus' suffering on the cross was for one reason only, you and me. It was just for us. That's the sacrifice he made. When those soldiers went overseas, or they fought a war right here on the United States of America's soil, it was for us. It was for our physical freedom. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he sacrificed himself for us, but for our spiritual freedom. We would have no hope of spending eternity with God in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. You know, because God left his throne in heaven and became flesh and dwelt among us, which we've already looked at those verses. Because he died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for you and me, then it makes Romans 10:13. Well, actually, I think I'll read Romans 9 through 13. But it makes verse 13 possible. Romans 10:9 says, now remember, if you're listening to this, and there's never been that specific time in your life where you can recall asking Jesus to save you, there's got to be that one time in your life. I can remember the day I asked him to save me. I might not remember all the details. I might not remember what day of the week it was or what day of the month it was. But I remember that time I asked him to forgive me and save me. So if you've never done that, listen to these verses right here. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, because of what Jesus Christ did, this verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, is possible. Without the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for you and me, this would never be possible. For whosoever, that would be you and me, doesn't matter who. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was for you, that he took your sins upon himself and paid your sin debt, so you wouldn't be punished in hell for eternity, so you could be reconciled to God the Father. If you believe that, he's saying, if you believe that in your heart, and confession is made with the mouth, asking him to forgive you and save you. 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see how easy that is? People want to complicate things. It's simple. It's by God's grace that we're saved. We don't deserve it, but we already looked at John 3:16, right? He loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish like the rich man did, should not perish but have everlasting life like Lazarus did. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Let me just say over one, you know, well over a million soldiers died to give us freedom in this country of ours. I want you to remember them and be thankful for them Memorial Day. Be thankful for, I am, be thankful for them. They gave their all so that we might enjoy the freedoms of this great land. This Monday, we'll honor the memory of their sacrifice, and I thank God for every one of them. But I want to remind you that every day should be a Memorial Day to each one of us, because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's we can't have a day like today, Monday through Sunday. We can't have a day where we don't think and aren't thankful to what Jesus Christ has done. That should be every day of our lives, and we should live our lives like we are thankful for what he's done for us. I guess I'll close, but I just want to encourage you this Memorial Day as we remember our loved ones, our family, our friends, those who've gone on before us. It's a wonderful thing to do to remember them. I want to encourage you to remember our military and all the soldiers who never made it back home, who died on foreign lands and died on our own soil to give us freedom. But most of all, I want you to remember what Jesus Christ did. He died for you and me. He sacrificed himself for you and me. No different than all those soldiers. But theirs was for physical freedom, which will last as long as we're alive, Lord willing. But Jesus Christ came down here and sacrificed himself for our spiritual beings. It's an unspeakable gift, and it lasts for eternity. All we have to do is think about the rich man and Lazarus. It's a wonderful example of those who do not accept that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did. They'll spend their eternity in hell. They will perish. Those who do accept that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for you and me, they'll spend their eternity, like Lazarus, in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you for the sacrifice of all of our soldiers that have died and just gave us died for our freedom, Father, our physical freedom here. We're so thankful for them. Help us to appreciate them in the days ahead, Father. But most of all, we're thankful for what Jesus Christ has done. He died for our spiritual freedom. Father, we're so thankful for that. For without Jesus Christ, we would have no hope. All these people who are alive today and do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. Father, open their eyes. Open their hearts to the truth of your word. May they see their need for Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank you for your grace that brought us that free gift of salvation. Father, this Memorial Day, I ask that you encourage hearts, and may the hearts of people think of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.